Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Garrett Sweeney will bring a message titled, Precious in His Sight, from Scripture found in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 to 5. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Good morning. We want to welcome to worship at 8th Reformed on this Lord's Day. It's an encouragement to have you with us. Our prayer is that our time together will be uplifting and joyful. If you are visiting with us, please sign our guest register in the hallway. And if you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will return to worship with us again. Just a couple announcements of people to pray for. Jim Verstrat, who is at Trinity Hospital dealing with blood clots in his leg. Joe Van Beek, who had foot surgery this past Tuesday, is recovering well at home. Lorraine Strading had a pacemaker put in last Friday and is still at Metro Hospital. Betty Holmes has been discharged from Trinity Hospital and back home. And Dee Diekman, who's in Metro Hospital with breathing issues. Remember them, and we'll remember them this morning in our prayers. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Let's everybody turn to hymn 43 and stand and sing, I'll Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Oh,
Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, that our church doors are open this morning, that we can still come and worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. I pray this morning, Lord, that your presence is here. For you said, Lord, two or more gathered in your name, you'd be amongst us. And I pray that when we leave this place, Lord, we can say it's been good to be in your house and not like Jacob said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. For we know that your presence is here. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Two words I was thinking as they were singing and Paul was playing, wowsy bowsy. It was great. Thank you. Thank you. Shall we go to God in prayer? Heavenly Father, we come before you with praise and thanksgiving. For truly this is the day you've made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. And Heavenly Father, As I pray, I think about the words that David spoke unto you. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? And we're grateful for that this morning, Father. We're grateful, Lord, that you've redeemed our life from destruction. And you crown us, Lord, with your loving kindness and your tender mercy. As Psalms 136 shares with us, one verse right after another, your mercy endures forever. Your mercy is everlasting. Your mercy endures forever. You're just so good to us, Lord. Your loving kindness. You've loved us so much. That is your desire to see none perish, but all come to eternal life. I pray for each and every individual, Lord, that's here this morning, that's listening by radio or internet, Lord. I pray that the words of your word, Lord, would go out. And it would be an encouragement, it would be healing, it would be strength, it would be salvation for those that are not right with you this morning, Lord. For we know that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. We look on to you as David did, and he said, our help cometh from the name of the Lord. The one that said, let there be light, and there was life. The one that breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Heavenly Father, give us that heart of worship. For you said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And you said, all, not just some, all these things would be added on to us. And we look for that, Lord. We look for a heart of worship, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy of all praise, all worship. Father, you're so good to us. We thank you for the sunshine this morning. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that we live in America. We thank you we can come to church and not live in fear, but to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to make a joyful noise, Lord. I thank you that we've got the organist, the pianist, Lord, the choir, the congregation that sings praises, Lord, unto you, and that we can come boldly anytime we want into the throne room and have a little talk with you and tell you about all our problems and all our cares. It's our desire, Lord, to know you deeply, Lord. Lead us, Lord. Lead us as a church. Lead us as an individual in the paths of righteousness. We pray that many a times, Lord. Lead us not into temptation. Lead us in your ways, Lord, and let it not be our way, but your way. For there's a way that seemeth right unto man, you said. That way leads on to death. We want to follow you, Lord. Lord, give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, Lord. Create in us, Lord, a longing for your word. For you said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You said heaven and earth would pass away one day, but your word, Lord, will stand forever. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for wisdom. Your wisdom, Lord. Your knowledge. Your understanding, Lord. So many things we do not understand. But we know you can grant unto us, Lord, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, Lord. We look unto you, Lord, from where cometh our help, where our answers are, Lord. Lord, I pray for guidance. For you said, Lord, you are our shepherd. And you said, we shall not want. You promised, Lord, to lead us beside those still waters and even into the green pastures, Lord. When everything seems oblique, seems like we're lonely, nobody cares, but you care, Lord. You're a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. As Pastor shared last week, the Comforter has come. You promised to lead us into every area of truth. You promised to dwell within us. Comfort, strengthen, encourage us. When we don't know how to pray, you pray for us. And Jesus sitteth on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, and if we have that unbelief, think of that man. His son kept throwing him into the fire, and the disciple, you came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, and you said to the man you would heal his son. And you asked the Father, do you believe? He said, yes, I believe. And then he prayed, help our unbelief. We know that you're able to, Lord. But sometimes I think we're like Thomas, there's times that we doubt. There's times that we fear. Guide us through that, Lord. We know you're a God that forgives. For you said, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Father, I pray for joy, strength, healing. Pray for the mind. Pray for forgiveness, hope. We pray for our children, Lord, our church, our pastor. We pray for our nation, Lord. We pray for contentment, patience, humility. We pray for comfort, and we pray for the spiritual warfare that we're in, Lord. For you said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, Lord. We know that you're able to see us through it, Lord, for we know the battle's not ours, but it belongs unto you. All we do is stay faithful and trust you through it, Lord. Lord, I pray for the different names that were mentioned this morning. I pray for Dee, pray for Betty, Lorraine, Joe, Jim, the different ones mentioned in the bulletins, Lord. I pray for our military this morning, Lord. I pray for every family that's here and listening by radio, Lord, whether they got financial, spiritual, emotional, whatever need they have, Holy Spirit, meet those needs according to your riches and glory. For we know it's in you, Lord, that we live and move and have our being. Father, and I'm reminded of the disciples coming to you, Lord. And they said to you, Lord, teach us how to pray. And you said, when you pray, our Father, which are in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses. Forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is 338, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Let's everybody stand as we turn in the songbook.
Tender despite it, where shall it raise me?
want to share this morning out of Isaiah chapter 43. I read out of the King James, and it might just be a little bit different than what you have in the Pew Bible. He says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopian and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee." Heavenly Father, I know the anointing breaks the yoke. And I depend on you, Holy Spirit. Let it not be my words, but your words. Open up our ears and our hearts of understanding and let your word go forth. In Jesus' name, I pray. What I noticed in here that caught my attention was verse 4, he says, "Since thou was precious in my sight." Can I tell you, if you're a Christian this morning, you are precious in his sight. You're valuable. Another word for it, you're cherished, you're treasured, you're loved. You're special. He says in the book of Psalms, he says, "You're the apple of my eye." I like that. I don't know if you have a favorite apple, but I think of a nice apple I used to bring to teacher without any worm in it, but it was special. You're the apple of his eye. You're precious to him. Can I tell you, everybody's precious, even the unsaved one, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He didn't want none to perish, but all come to eternal life. You are precious in a sight. As a child of God, you are precious. Nowhere in the Word of God will you ever find the adults of God. We're always the children of God. And when my children grew up, nobody messed with my children, right? Nobody messed with your children. You're God's child. You are precious in his sight. We sing that song. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. They are precious in his sight. You're precious this morning in his sight. You are precious to God. You're important to God. You know, he goes on to say in there, he said, listen, he said, "I created you. I formed you. I saved you. I redeemed you. I'm your Savior." He says, "I called you by name." Your name's important to him. And if you don't think it's true, read in the book of Revelation, he's given you a new name that's written on a white stone that you'll get when you get to heaven. You are important to God. God knows you by name. I'm not good at names a lot of times. God knows you, knows everything about you. You are precious. In a sight, he says, fear not. Now, what's interesting, he says, fear not, and twice he's going to say, because I am with you. I will never leave you, nor forsake you. I'm a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. When you feel lonely, I'm there. When you feel like you don't have a friend, I'm there. When you go through a trial, I'm there. When you go through a sickness, I'm there. Yea, though I walk through a valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, because he is there. You are important to God. You are precious in a sense. Twice he says, I am with thee. He says, if you don't get it the first time, I don't get things the first time. Sometimes the second, third, fourth, fifth, he says it a second time, I am with you. I think of that song when I read, some through the water, some through the floods, some through the fire, but all through the blood. I created you. I formed you. I know you by name. You're important. You're precious in my sight. Sometimes you've got to get that in us. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Just trust God through it. I like what he says there. Verse 2 says, when you go through the waters, he says, I am with you. And then he says it again, I'm with you, no matter how the waters are. And then what caught my attention was the next part of that. It says, when you go through the waters, he says, they won't overflow you. You know what caught my attention about that? We used to live right almost on the Mississippi River. We lived down towards Memphis. And I don't know if you've ever seen the current on the Mississippi River. I mean, it goes. And you cannot swim in there. There were some parishioners that told us, don't even attempt to swim in there because that current will carry you down. There were people that capsized their boat and they drowned there because of the current. It's just so fast. You don't see it much in the summer, but in the winter, when things start melting from the north, you see the current coming down. My one older brother, he came to visit us there. He said, I'll figure out a way to swim in that. He says, I'll tie a rope around me like a cowboy would and tie it up to a tree and then I'll go swimming in there. He didn't do it. The current. I thought about a river and current. So many of us are being attacked by current events. Things we hear on the news, things we see on the news, things we see and happen all around us, things that people share with us, things on the internet, and they just get us down. Jesus said, don't focus on those things. He said, you lift up your eyes because your redemption draweth nigh. Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You might be here this morning and you feel like you're going through some type of physical trial, some loneliness. No matter what you're going through, whether it's water, whether it's a river, whether it's fire, whatever it is, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You are precious in his sight. He says, I created you. I formed you. I saved you. I called you by name. I don't know why he keeps telling me, repeat that. You are important to God. You know, as I thought about that, I thought we got to just trust God, no matter what. And sometimes it's not easy when you're going through it. It's easy to say, you need to do this. But you don't know what I'm facing. You know, as I thought about that, I went to Mark chapter 2. Just trust God. This sermon's been on my heart for a couple months now. You just got to trust God. Trust in the Lord. Trust him. In Mark chapter 2, Jesus is in Capernaum, it starts out. And he's in a certain house. And in this house, it doesn't say whose house it is. But it says after a few days, it was noised that Jesus was in the house. You know, Jesus is here this morning. You say, well, I don't know about that. I used to think that when I went to church on Sunday morning, when I left, God stayed there. And then we come back next Sunday, he meet us there. No, you know, we bring him to church with us. Two or more gathered in his name, he's here. Right? It's noised that he's in this house. And the house was just loaded with people. Perhaps no sitting room. Just all standing. And it was packed all the way to the door. You know what Jesus did? Bible says, and verse 2, I think it is, and he preached the word unto them. You know, one of the things I've always done with some of the churches that I preached at, when it was time for me to leave, I always gave an apology if I never preached the word of God to them, or if there were times I didn't preach, that I just told stories. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. One of my parishioners came up to me after church one day and said, I just love going to church. Says, you know why? Says, I get fed on Sunday, and then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, it seems like, even though I have devotions, it seems like I'm like a gas tank going down towards empty. And then I come back on Sunday. We get filled here. The pastors, they share the word. The word, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Right? Heaven and earth will pass away one day, but his word will stand. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need the word of God, don't we? And Jesus preached the word unto him. Don't let anything stand in your way. You trust God. These guys came to church by faith. We come to church by faith. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We believe in Jesus. That's one of the reasons we come to church, right? And we believe in the Father. We believe in the Son. We believe in the Holy Spirit, right? And that's why we sing, that's why we come to church. We get filled up and then we go and we're happy for another week, right? Don't let nothing stand in your way. These guys came to church and they wanted to draw nigh to Jesus. It says in verse 3, or verse 4, and they could not come nigh to Jesus. How close you want to get to Jesus? He said, you draw nigh to me, and James doesn't, and he says, I'll draw nigh to you. You take the time to draw close to him, and he'll take the time to draw close to you, right? Isn't that what he says? Draw nigh to me, and I'll draw nigh to you. And they wanted to draw nigh to Jesus, it said. They wanted to get as close to Jesus as they could. And they were determined. They tried to go in through the front door. No way to get in. How bad do you want the things of God? You know, when you pray, when you have your personal devotion, do you feel like your prayers just hit the ceiling? I'm not getting anywhere. Do you give up? Say, what's the use of praying? You know what type of prayer you pray then? Help me, Lord, help me. Help me, help me. If that's all you can pray, help me, Lord. Lord, help you. Don't give up. Well, I've gone to church, it hasn't helped me. You keep coming. You seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness. Somehow it's going to work out for you. God's got a way of working out. And God doesn't work according to your timetable. One day is as 1,000 years to God. Doesn't it say that? When I want something, when I pray, I want it right now, but it doesn't come when I want it. But when it does come, it comes at the right time. right? Or I'm one of the weird ones, right? They didn't let anything stand in their way. They're carrying a stretcher. How am I going to get in there? I don't know how they got on the roof. If they had ladders, whatever they did, some say they had stairs going up, I don't know. Pastor, what if they broke the roof here coming in? Call Tom. They broke a roof just to get into church, didn't they? No. Sometimes we get this story wrong. When Jesus saw their faith is the substance of things hoped for, right? When Jesus saw their faith, the first thing he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. When he sees our faith, thy sins be forgiven thee, right? Did we see Jesus die on the cross for our sins? Did we see Jesus die and ascend to the Father, raised from the dead? No. But if we believe it, I believe it, then we're saved, right? Isn't that what the Word of God says? And if I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and I believe it in my heart, I shall be saved. Jesus saw their faith to believe he can forgive sin. He said your sins are forgiven. I don't know about you, but I know there's times when I throughout the week or something, I had a parishioner talk to me one time and they said, you wouldn't believe. She kept saying to me, I feel like I'm unsaved. I've accepted Jesus. I believe in him. But then the devil comes and tells me, you did this, you did that, you did this, you did that, you did this. Just like some of the things some of you are going through. The devil comes to you and says, you did this, you did that, you did this. You're not good enough. You are good enough because of the blood of Jesus. And you tell him, as far as the east is from the west, God remembers my sins no more. Are you with me? Do you battle that? Tell you, how can you be saved? You did this. You did that. We take what God's word says, right? He says, who forgiveth not just some of our iniquities, how many of them? All of them. Pastor, you mentioned last week the clocks. Is it working? If I see your hand come up and you go like that, I understand. Now, this is an interesting thing. I often thought when I read that, these guys spoke out, and these religious leaders said, who can forgive sin? They didn't speak it. They sat there probably, their hearts like this in the inside. Can I tell you what's important? Many of you, when I look at you, I envy how beautiful you are on the outside. What matters is what's in there. Jesus said, I see what you're thinking in your heart, right? He knows what's in our heart. We can fool everybody. I can put a suit on, shirt and tie, slick my hair back, and say everything's okay and put a smile on my face. What matters is what's in there, because God sees that. What's in your heart? What's in my heart? Hopefully it's Jesus, right? We sing that song, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. He knows. Jesus said to show you, the Son of Man has the power to forgive sin. That's a good statement. To show each one of us, you need your sins forgiven. He says, to show you that Jesus has the power to forgive sin. He said, is it easier to say thy sins be forgiven thee or take up thy cross and walk? Take up thy bed and walk. Can I tell you, the man had a choice at that time? didn't he? Don't we have a choice? You don't have to accept Jesus. You can say one day might be too late, right? That you get your sins forgiven. The man had a choice whether to take up his bed and walk, didn't he? He could have said, oh man, I don't feel like it. You don't know what I'm going through. Choice is yours. Choose you this day. You go later on, right after that, go further on into Mark chapter 2. Jesus goes out by the seaside, and the group of people are following him. And the first thing he sees Matthew. And Matthew is in some type of building collecting taxes. You know what Jesus said to him? He said, follow me. You know what Jesus says to us? Follow him. And he says, Matthew, the choice is yours, right? Did Matthew have to follow him? Do you have to follow him? You don't have to. But the wages of sin is what? Death. Choice is ours. He says, I created you. I formed you. I called you by name. I can save you. I am with you. Do you trust me? Fear not. That's easy to tell somebody, isn't it? Don't you fear. It was easy for when I was in Vietnam, it was easy when somebody said, don't you fear? And I thought, you don't know what I'm going through. Perhaps there's things that you're going through, whether it's through the water, whether it's through the flood, whether it's through the fire, whether it's through some type of trial, physical loneliness. Just don't try to figure it out. Just trust God. Job chapter 1. In Job chapter 1, the Bible talks about Job living in the city of Uz. The Bible says he was perfect, he was upright, he feared God, and he eschewed evil or avoided evil. Can I tell you that speaks about the Christian? In God's eyes, you've got the perfect sacrifice if you're a Christian. Jesus is a perfect sacrifice, isn't he? And I believe many of you that's sitting here this morning fear God. And I believe you're upright. I believe it's your desire to live a upright life. And I believe each one of us avoid evil. And if we fall short, we confess our sin, right? And he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us, right? And then it tells about Job's life. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys. And the Word of God changes the story a little bit, and it says Job's sons and daughters would get together, and they would eat, drink, and be merry. And the next morning, Job would get up, and he would offer an offering unto God, didn't he? And he would pray for his family. Grasp hold of that thought. I don't want to take away from the prayer list. That's important. But each one sitting us here, we love our families, right? So you should, we should, I'm talking about me too, should be praying for my family, my kids, my grandkids, my brothers, my sisters, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, Nobody loves them as much as I do, right? Are you with me? Do you pray for them? Pray for them every day. Whether you pray the same prayer, Lord, save them, save them, save them. Not wrong. Pray especially for your family. Then the story shifts. And the angels, the Bible says, and the sons of God and Satan had to give account to God. And God says to Satan, where have you been? And Satan says, I've been to and fro in the earth, right? Walking to and fro. He's seeking whom he may devour, right? And God says to him, have you seen my man Job? And I believe God thinks the same of you. Have you seen him? Have you seen the way she's living? She means business with God. She perfect, got the perfect sacrifice. She's upright. She fears me. And she turns her back on evil. Right? You with me? And Satan says, the only reason he does it is because you have blessed him. You've got a hedge about him, right? With finances. Says you take that stuff away from him and he'll curse you to your face. And so the devil, God gave him permission. And there came a day the children were at the oldest boy's house and they were eating, drinking, and marrying. The Sabaeans came down and they attacked the servants of Job and they killed them all except one and stole the 3,000 camels. And the servant that escaped ran to Job to tell him what had happened. And while he's talking, a second one came. And he said, you know those 7,000 sheep you've got? He said, the servants were all out there, but I escaped. One trial right after another. And he said, a fire of God came from heaven and burned them all up. Even them, well, it's written in there. And while he's talking, a third one comes. And he says, the Chaldeans came. They killed all your servants, but I escaped. And they took your oxen, and they took your donkeys. And while he's talking, a fourth one comes and says, all your children and your servants that were at their house, a wind or a tornado came, right? A wind came, and it destroyed the house. And they died. One trial right after another, like some of the things many of you are going through. Job falls flat on his face. Well, he rents his clothes and he shaves his head, falls flat on his face on the ground, and he began to worship God. And he said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Are we that way when we go through it? He created you. He formed you. You're precious in his sight. He's called you by name. He says, I won't leave you. What if you went through all that? And then it doesn't quit there. Devil gives account again. He says, you touch him physically. And there's many of us that are touched physically, right? I know many of us are going through all kinds of things. And the devil struck Job from the crown of his head down to the bottom of his feet. Bible says with sore boils. I mean, things that were puffy. And he sat on ashes with a poster, a broken piece of clay, scraping that stuff out. And it was just painful. The one he loves, his wife, turns to him and says, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Why don't you curse God and die?" Job said, "You speak like a foolish woman." He said, "What? Shall we receive only good at the hand of God? And shall not we receive evil?" In all this, Job still, with his lips, praised God. What about us? Many of you, I believe, that are sitting here this morning, going through all kinds of things, whether it's physical loneliness, you are precious in his sight. And he sees what you're going through. He's created you. He's formed you. He's called you by name. Fear not. You are precious in his sight. He won't leave you nor forsake you. Trust God through all of it. One last thought. Matthew 14. Remember when Jesus came walking on the water? And Peter said, "Lord, can I come to you?" Right? And Jesus said, "Sure, come ahead." And Peter came walking on the water, and then all of a sudden, the trial hit. The wind was boisterous, right? And he noticed the wind instead of looking at Jesus, right? And he began to sink. What does he do? You know what he does? I was reading John 21 the other day. Jesus is in the middle of the lake, and he's fished all night, didn't catch anything, right? And Jesus said, "Put your net to the other side of the boat," and they caught a whole bunch of fish, and he realizes it's Jesus. Peter jumps in the water and swims. Peter had the ability to swim and to work it out himself. Didn't he, when he began to sink? Instead, you know what he does? He says, "I'm not going to trust my ability." He cries unto Jesus, "Lord, save me. Help me, Lord." Our help today is in the name of the Lord. You are precious. God's created you. He's formed you. He's called you by name. He says, "I am with you." Are you with me? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity, Lord, just to share your word, Lord, those things that you laid on my heart, Lord. And I do pray, Lord, for everyone that's here or listening by radio, Lord. And I pray if they're not right, Lord, as Matthew had the opportunity to follow you, Lord. He chose to follow you. And I pray if somebody is not following you, Lord, let there be a change in their heart today, Lord, that they call upon you and make Jesus their Lord and Savior. Just be with us, Lord, throughout this week. Let not your word, let it not return void, Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray. Hymn 771. Let's everybody stand as we sing that. Will the deacons come at this time as we take up our offering? Heavenly Father, it's just an honor to give back a portion unto you, Lord. You're just so good to us, Lord. I pray that you bless those that were able to give and those that weren't able to, Lord. And I know, Lord, that all things work together for the good of those that love you, Lord. As the gifts are being used for different things, Lord, just bless it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we sing Hymn 100, Thou Art Worthy, let me give you the benediction. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to past services on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.